This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1. I'm David Martin Davies. The scandal-plagued Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is facing a new controversy. This one is about his text messages connected to the pro-Trump January 6th rally that led up to the insurgency attack on the U.S. Capitol. This is as Paxton is facing challengers to his GOP nomination for the Attorney General in the Republican primary. To find out more, we're joined by Allie Morris, Austin Bureau correspondent for the Dallas Morning News on Twitter at Morris Reports. And Allie Morris, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Jay Root, investigative reporter for the Houston Chronicle. You can find him on Twitter at @byjayroot. And Jay Root, welcome to The Source.
Howdy, Dave.
Hey, so we're going to start off by listening to the speech that Paxton gave at the January 6th rally. And I was really surprised to find out how short it is. It's only a 1 minute and 33 seconds long. So we're going to give it a listen.
So awesome to be here. I want you to know that Texas fights. We fought 12 straight lawsuits related to mail-in ballots, related to signature verification, federal court, state court, Travis County, Austin, Houston. We fought, we won every single one of those cases, and because of that, Donald Trump won Texas by over 600,000 votes. And thank God for a legislature in Texas, like my senator, Angela Paxton, my wife, who put in place laws that protect against fraud. One of the great things about the state of Texas is that we did not quit. If you look at what Georgia did, they capitulated, they consented. We kept fighting in Texas. And then we had the opportunity to go fight in other states. And we sued 4 states over the ballot fraud and not following the Constitution, not following state law. And we took it directly to the Supreme Court, and they should have heard our case. And let me just finish up by saying that what we have in President Trump is a fighter. And I think that's why we're all here. We believe in what he's accomplished over the last 4 years. And because we're here today, the message goes on. We will not quit fighting. We're Texans, we're Americans, and we're not quitting. God bless you for being here today. God bless this great country we live in. Thank you.
Ken Paxton at the January 6th rally in Washington, D.C., before the insurgency. So Allie Morris, the Dallas Morning News, what are the big takeaways from that speech? Why do we want to know what the text messages had to do with that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think as General Paxton kind of alluded to in that speech there, he was one of the attorney generals who was really fighting to overturn the results of the 2020 election with these claims of fraud that have, you know, yet to be substantiated. In fact, they've been disputed by some of Trump's own appointed officials. And, you know, as that clip mentioned, Attorney General Ken Paxton appeared at this rally that later, you know, became this attack on the U.S. Capitol. And both reporters at the Dallas Morning News and many other newspapers across the state have been seeking to get records from General Paxton to understand, you know, why he was there, who coordinated this trip, who paid for it. Was he aware of what was going on during this attack? What involvement, if any, did he have in that? And so I think there's a number of questions that some of these records could answer that we just have not been able to get access to.
Jay Root, it was on Thursday that the Travis County District Attorney ordered Paxton to turn over those text messages because of these lawsuits. So is it today or was it yesterday? Was it business days? When does this deadline hit?
It said 4 days. We're sort of on alert for Friday, thinking that we might get something then. But this is sort of out of our hands now. I mean, we filed this complaint, and then it's a government agency that's going to sue that if we don't get the records, is going to sue the Attorney General's office. And what we're seeking and entitled to receive under the Texas Public Information Act is injunctive and declaratory relief. And that's a fancy way of saying we want the Attorney General to stop blocking the release of records and then be transparent with the taxpayers from now on. That's what the law requires. And as the chief elected official in charge of enforcing compliance with these transparency laws, he's obviously in a position to know that these are public records. And if he hands it over, we'll go away and write our stories. That's all we're looking for.
So under the law, even if it's a personal device, if it is an elected official doing business as an elected official, these text messages are entitled to be known by the public, right? So Jay Root, you hear the speech with Attorney General Ken Paxton. That sounded like he was doing official business to you.
Well, he was doing. He said before a Senate committee that he had official business in Washington. He said that he met at the White House for several hours to talk about a Medicaid issue. If that's true, then we're, as taxpayers, we should know about it. He was asked in the Senate committee who paid for it, and he never actually directly answered that question. I mean, these are very basic questions about what he was up to there. Who did he meet with? Who did he exchange records with? What all did they talk about? These are normal. You know, one of the things that they said was that these were, that 100% of these records basically were subject to the attorney-client privilege, and we didn't buy that, and neither did the district attorney's office in Travis County. So you waive the privilege when you communicate with non-lawyers or people that aren't parties to lawsuits. So there's all, and we also got records from another official in his office, his top assistant attorney general. So we believe that there are records that are obtainable if the attorney general would simply do what he requires other agencies to do, and that is to comply with the Texas Public Information Act, which was passed in 1973.
Also, Jay, this is a time when Ken Paxton was hoping that there would be a presidential pardon for him. Is this something else that you're looking for?
I mean, sure. If those discussions were had, I believe he has denied that he was in those kinds of discussions. I'd have to look back to make sure about that. But regardless of what he said or hasn't said, sure, if there's any kind of conversations like that, we want to know about it. We want to have those records.
Right. And so, Ali Morris, that presidential pardon never happened. Was that a surprise or a disappointment, or what did you think about that?
As Jay mentioned, I think there was speculation that that may have been something that, you know, Ken Paxton was seeking, although I don't believe that anyone's, you know, been able to confirm for sure that that was the case. As you mentioned at the top of the program, Attorney General Paxton is now running for re-election. He's seeking a third term, and he's facing some pretty stiff competition from within his own party and also from Democrats. And what we do know for sure is that former President Trump has endorsed him in his re-election bid, which is something that he is really touting in this race, and that I think a lot of people view as a win for him, considering that former President Trump is still very popular with his conservative base here in Texas.
Still, it's rather incongruent that the sitting attorney general would be even needing a presidential pardon. We're going to talk about why that is when we come back from the break. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about a new Texas law that goes into effect. It is banning the tethering and chaining of dogs. We'll have more on that when we come in the next half hour. But right now, we're talking about Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton and his legal troubles. Right now, there is a fight on to get his text messages, which is considered to be public information from when he was in Washington, D.C., and leading up to that concerning his January 6th speech, his appearance at a pro-Trump rally there. So, Ali Morris, Austin Bureau correspondent for the Dallas Morning News, why could he have used a pardon?
Well, a number of things are going on with regard to Ken Paxton. I think it's been 6 years since he has been kind of awaiting trial on securities fraud charges here in the state. And then at the same time, the FBI began investigating him a little over a year ago regarding some allegations made by several of Paxton's former top deputies who accused him of bribery and abusing his office. And the FBI began an investigation last year. There have not been any charges filed to date. It's not exactly clear where that investigation stands. And so, those are a few of the legal issues that the Attorney General is facing at the moment.
Jay Root, I mean, you almost need a spreadsheet to keep track of all of the controversies happening with Attorney General Ken Paxton. One of them that he mentioned in that speech was how he sued other states, four other states that went for Biden in the election, the presidential election. He sued them, challenging them, trying to prevent the counting of those Electoral College votes. And that was thrown, not taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court, but that is also triggered a complaint by a citizen to the State Bar of Texas, and they're investigating him for possible disciplinary action. How serious is that?
It's hard to know in terms of, I mean, it's a serious thing if he were to get disbarred, right? But, that's not a public investigation, so we don't really know what's going on. But I mean, there is quite a lot of out there on Ken Paxton. I mean, I think the federal investigation is extremely serious. Also, not a public thing. We can't really know what's going on. But these whistleblowers, the entire top echelon of the Attorney General's office just quit and made these allegations and said that he was moving mountains inside the Attorney General's office to help a donor and friend named Nate Paul, an Austin real estate mogul who's been in all kind of financial distress and needed help. but none of that really has anything to do with, I mean, sure, we our complaint adds to it, but we're not seeking, this is not a criminal, even though it's a district attorney, people might think, this is a criminal issue. It's not a criminal complaint. It's civil, injunctive, and declaratory relief that we're seeking. And if he'll just give us the records, then we'll get out of his way and let him deal with his other problems. This is something that anyone should do. We ask the Attorney General all the time. We complain about sheriffs, about Health and Human Services, state agencies, whatever it is. We go to the Attorney General. But in this case, it's actually the Attorney General who is not being transparent. And when that happens, the remedy that you have is to go to the Travis County District Attorney and file a complaint. And that's what we did.
And if the Attorney General does not abide by this complaint, Jay, then that triggers another lawsuit.
Correct. Yeah. And in that case, what happens, this is sort of an obscure statute it's kind of an extraordinary issue because, like I said, typically as reporters and Dave, this, when you file an open records request, the person who's calling balls and strikes on it is the Attorney General. If you want something from the Bexar County Sheriff's Office and you think you're entitled to it and they don't give it to you, then you go to the Attorney General. Well, in this case, we had to go to another party. If they don't cough up the records really soon, then the district attorney of Travis County, Jose Garza, is going to file a lawsuit in Travis County District Court, and we'll see where that goes, and we'll be covering it every step of the way.
Ali Morris, next to Ken Paxton, when he was giving that speech, and he referred to it in that speech, was his wife, who is a Texas state senator, Senator Paxton. What about her records? Are those up for grabs?
You know, that is a great question and one that we haven't been pursuing as much. And, you know, unfortunately, in Texas, public records law, while it covers many statewide offices and elected leaders, is less transparent when it comes to members of the legislature.
Yeah, when they pass the laws, they give themselves nice fat exemptions.
That's definitely one way to look at it. There are many exemptions when it comes to the legislature itself. And so, while she was certainly there that day, I don't know if maybe Jay has requested records or others have. Ours have mostly been focused on the attorney general, given that he's had such a prominent role in kind of combating the 2020 election results, that's where much of our focus has been.
Right. So, Jay Root, do you have anything, any insight in that?
Well, I was just going to say that in 2019, the legislature passed a really horrible law that created what's called legislative privilege. They already had a huge out. The legislators have all kinds of exemptions that no one else has. You know, they pass the laws, as you said, they give themselves exemptions. In the same way, the United States Congress exempted itself years ago, decades ago, from the Federal Freedom of Information Act. And then in 2019, they made it far worse. And so it's really hard to get anything of value out of the legislature. But the attorney general doesn't have legislative privilege. And so we feel like that's a better way. And I tell you, what Allie did was really a game changer in this, because she sent a text to Ken Paxton's phone, his cell phone, and then asked for it. And then they said, we don't have to give you unsolicited and unwelcome text messages. They basically didn't give Allie anything in response to that request. But that ended up being a major plank in our complaint, and that the DA took up and said, yes, this is pretty much evidence that you're violating it, because there is exemption to say it's unwanted. I mean, just carry that to its logical conclusion. And if somebody, some whistleblower, sent you some horrible allegations that turned out to be true and it ended up being adjudicated, you know, the public would have a right to know about that, and may not be solicited or welcome. But there is no provision in the law that says you don't have to keep anything or provide it just because you didn't ask for it.
Allie Morris, I want to ask you about this other part of Ken Paxton's speech, the first part where he's bragging about how he fought mail-in ballots in Texas during the presidential election. He filed 12 straight lawsuits related to mail-in ballots, and how he was able to suppress those votes from being counted. And he said that was the reason why Trump won Texas. This is because of that, Donald Trump won Texas. So is that basically an admission that it was his legal maneuvers that delivered Trump for Texas, not so much what the will of the people was?
I don't know that there's any evidence to necessarily back that up. As you and I, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, Texas has been a red state for many, many years. In fact, I don't think that a Democrat has won statewide in Texas since the 90s. So, and Trump handily won Texas. I'm not sure how many mail-in ballots there were, but I don't know that there would have been enough to actually tip the scales in an election. I don't have those numbers, unfortunately, right in front of me.
How red Texas will be in the coming general election, and people are concerned that Ken Paxton could be fading with general election voters because of these lawsuits, Allie, and his other legal troubles, and so that's why he's drawing opposition in the primary. Well, so what's happening there?
He is definitely drawing opposition in the primary. In fact, most of his GOP primary challengers say the biggest problem isn't with Paxton's policies, but with him himself. You know, they're saying that he has all of these legal problems between the securities fraud issue and this ongoing FBI investigation, they're saying, you know, that those issues make him unfit to be attorney general. That's generally what the Republicans running against him say. There's three of them. You know, one of them is George P. Bush, who is currently the land commissioner. There's a former Supreme Court justice named Eva Guzman and a congressman from East Texas, Louie Gohmert. And then on the Democratic side, you know, you have a lot of candidates who just say Paxton's policies are the problem. They point to, you know, his prosecutions of election issues, which they say, you know, go after voters who make innocent mistakes, you know, that they maybe have registered to vote, not knowing that they weren't eligible or things like that. So I think that's kind of where the battle lines are being drawn at the moment in this race. And, you know, as I mentioned, a Democrat hasn't won statewide office since the 90s. I think a lot of people still kind of see this as a long shot in a state that's as red as Texas. But it is the most competitive statewide race at the moment in Texas.
And Jay Root, do you see that Ken Paxton, if he wins the Republican nomination goes to the general election, that will the Democrats have something to work with there?
Look, I think that, yeah, I mean, the short answer is yes. There's a lot of material to use to run against Paxton. And I think that, you know, 2022 is shaping up to be going to an uphill climb for Democrats, I think. I think that they feel, the Democrats feel like Paxton is potentially pickup opportunity, you know, a rare, you know, something that hasn't happened. A Democrat hasn't won since 1994 statewide, basically. So there's been a Republican sweep every year since 1998, and the Republicans are planning to do it again, or they want to do it again, obviously.
Sure. But Ken Paxton, he won re-election 4 years ago with 50.57% of the vote.
Right. Yeah. No. It was the closest statewide election, and I would think it'll be the closest one again. And if the Democrats put up a solid candidate, I mean, you know, they can basically say, you know, we're right of, they could campaign as right of center or whatever, and just make Paxton the issue. So yeah, there's definitely an opening there, but you know, it's tough to win. It's tough for Democrats to win in Texas, obviously.
So moving forward, we can expect Ken Paxton, has he said anything? Has he shown his hand? Has he been defiant, saying, I'm not going to comply with this? Take me to court, Allie?
You know, we reached out to comment for comment with him about this issue with the Travis County DA, and he never got back to us about it. I think Jay might actually know more about whether he's issued any statements since then.
Jay, what do you got?
He has not. No, I mean, it's pretty much been crickets as far as I can tell. So, I mean, tell your listeners to stay tuned because we're going to be on top of, you know, we're going to be reporting on this, any development on this. I mean, we really want these records. We feel like the public's entitled to see what their top law enforcement official was doing in Washington this fateful week, right? And we're certainly paying his salary. We're entitled to know if we paid for his trip. We're entitled to know who paid for it.
I mean, paying his legal bills too, apparently.
Yeah.
So Jay Root, so stay tuned by following him on Twitter. He's at the Houston Chronicle, but he is on Twitter at @byjayroot. Also, you can follow Allie Morris. She's with the Dallas Morning News Austin Bureau. She is at Morris Reports on Twitter. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. It's great talking to you guys. We'll be back after this break.